Local stories, local voices. We're localwebradio.fm.
Are you dealing with a health issue you would love to resolve? Would you like to restore yourself to be healthier and more invigorated? There is help. Welcome to the Natural Therapy Show with Dr. Tim Brown, architect and creator of Ocean Park Natural Therapies. Now, here's your host.
Hi, Trista Polo here. I am your host of the Natural Therapies Show with Dr. Tim Brown, chiropractor and ND, owner of Ocean Park Natural Therapies, and creator of Solving Your Health Puzzle with Integrated Medicine. Today, Dr. Brown will be discussing mild traumatic brain injuries and concussions and what you need to consider. Now, before Dr. Brown joins us, I wanted to mention that Dr. Brown has remodeled Ocean Park Natural Therapies to make the clinic more upscale, efficient, warm, and friendly. Dr. Brown and Dr. Andrew Eberding are open for business as usual in Ocean Park. They're at Suite 200, 12761 16th Avenue in Surrey, BC. If you have any questions or require assistance, you can reach his office at 604-538-3017 or visit them online at www.oceanparkhealth.com. Dr. Brown, welcome to today's call.
Welcome back. Hello, everyone.
We're so excited to have you today to talk about this really important topic. What can you share regarding brain function and injuries?
The first thing I want to share is an incident in my office. Last year, I had a patient come into the office. He was a young man in his mid-30s, and he'd suffered what's called a knockdown episode from poisoning with hydrogen sulfide gas and a natural gas drilling site which he was running. And he was very experienced, but got into trouble and had this accident. Now, what I learned is hydrogen sulfide comes from gas deposits, you know, such as natural gas and things. But when you get exposed to it, it gives symptoms similar to cyanide poisoning.
Wow.
This young man was lucky not to be killed by the episode, but he suffered for months with severe allergies, brain dysfunction, you know, brain fog and headaches, chest infections and spasms, severe sensitivity to smells, noise, mental strain would, you know, cause headaches and confusion. And these were just a few of his symptoms.
Now, did they know these symptoms were caused by the accident?
Yes, they did, because up north where they do the drilling, this can happen. It's, you know, one of the real hazards and dangers. When I went online to look at this information, apparently it occurs all across the U.S., in parts of Canada. And it's not just natural gas drilling sites, but if you have a peat bog or things, this gas can be underneath, and it can be leaking from one area. The air currents can carry it, and then people can be getting allergies and brain fog and all kinds of things from kind of natural sources of this.
And what's the typical traditional medical procedure to take care of this sort of issue?
Well, of course, they first of all rush you to the hospital and then try to make sure that your vital functions and things are sorted and do the assessments and things and then observe you for a while and usually let you go. In his case, the problem was he got recurring infections and they're waiting over time for things to improve, but I saw him, it was something like 9 months later, and his mother brought him down from Northern BC because she was very concerned that he wasn't getting better under the typical medical kind of care that he was getting. We assessed his brain function and found signs of injury from what we would call hypoxia, or shortage of oxygen, overload from the hydrogen sulfide gas affecting his whole system. So I'm going to give you some background on the brain. Your brain is a very soft organ, and it's probably about the consistency of tofu. And it's housed in a hard skull, but it's held in place by various sort of baggy arrangement with cross sections and things so that it floats. in a fluid that bathes and nourishes and helps protect it from injury. So you think of the tofu, it's in a plastic saran wrap type thing, but the saran wrap is tied to the bony skull attached to it so that it doesn't just jiggle around in there. The membranes are called the dura. So the dura is important because when you get injured, a lot of times you can have a dural swelling and different things like that. Going back to this, just some statistics, okay? In the USA alone, there are over 2 million new brain injuries reported every year. And those are the ones we know about. But as we've all experienced, many head injuries that are never noticed and or reported because the person never lost consciousness and didn't think much of it. Therefore, these people never get assessed or treated. If head injuries occur at birth or in early childhood, sometimes the consequences don't show up until later in school years, the teenage years, or early adulthood, when the demands for brain functioning increase in complexity, or when certain regions of the brain developmentally are supposed to come online. It's important to understand that the brain continues to develop and mature up until our late 20s. Maturation is generally earlier in girls than boys. So I think that I tell patients that generally a girl's brain is going to develop fully somewhere around the mid-20s, 24 to 26, and a boy's brain takes longer, probably about 28 to 30, somewhere in there. They have more adult reasoning function. So the teens are filled with risk-taking and testing out the limits to things, and it's often an area where a person gets in trouble.
Well, and as a woman, I can tell you that I definitely experienced what you're saying in my 20s.
Yes. It's almost like something kicks in and starts to make sense there. But last, even though early childhood lays down your most important pathways, the brain continues to shape and prune itself throughout life so that knowledge and processing functions can be shaped and developed at any age, even into the elder years. So where we used to think that you actually didn't learn much in later life, the answer is a diversity of learning and stuff keeps the brain going and is probably good for it.
That's great. I know you hear about how to change a habit, you actually have to recreate pathways in the brain.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit in another section about neurofeedback. And what you have to do is you have to diffuse a program. It's sort of like you have to put a detour in a roadway so that it doesn't get used so much, and then you have to create the new pathway and then use it a lot and then gradually phase out the old one.
Yeah, definitely. We all have a brain, so this is so important for us to really understand, especially the idea that if you do have even what you think is a minor injury to your brain, it's probably worth getting it assessed.
Yes, and that we're going to talk about assessment and the importance and the poor quality of the assessment without proper measurements and feedback. But right now we're going to talk about mild traumatic brain injury, which is insidious, and it can hamper a person's life at any age, especially devastating to development of children or teens who are still developing their self-image based on how they compare to their peers. But this goes a lot into the self-image and the whole section, which if I haven't talked about it, I will talk about. But in our psychology area, we know that self-image and your virtual programs are basically what your internal world is all about. So I'm going to carry on with mild traumatic brain injury, some insights that it's a common occurrence in the brain due to shearing forces, which are twisting kind of injuries that are not direct blows, but they can come from not only contact sports, but automobile accidents, simple falls in the home, blows to the head, or violent shaking of the head in an infant can cause these type of injuries. Because remember, the brain's like tofu. It's got blood vessels running through it, and if it's sheared or traumatized, nerves and blood vessels can be disrupted, and a small bleed in the brain alters its functioning. When the blood flow to these cells are shut down, the brain goes into kind of a hibernation state. It's kind of like a circuit breaker's in your house shut off. The thing is, when the blood supply is restored or the power comes on, the problem is the brain doesn't automatically restore its function. So the circuit breakers have to be reset and re-stimulated to turn back on. In the brain, because timing and sequencing is so important to create meaning, if the timing and sequencing of a message or nerve flow is interrupted, then functions are altered. The example I give is timing and sequencing. If you use the letters ACT and they come in at CAT, it's an entirely different meaning. And if you pause and you say CAT, and the system has to figure out what that means. The other aspect is that injuries to the neck, the rib cage especially, upper rib cage, can affect the nerve supply and blood supply to your brain, because there's in your neck things like your stellate ganglion nerve center in the front of the lower neck. If we put anesthetic into that or it's injured, it can affect your blood pressure regulation. And if you injure both sides or inject both sides with an anesthetic, you can have the person pass out due to low blood pressure. So it's important to understand that it's not always in the head directly that the problem is, but quite often the head and neck region have to be assessed.
Well, that's really great information, and we're going to be back to talk about assessment with Dr. Tim Brown after this break. We'll be right back.
More natural therapies with Dr. Tim Brown after these short messages.
Hillcrest Bakery and Deli presents Old Time Radio on the specialty channel on localwebradio.fm. Hillcrest Bakery and Deli, serving the Semiahmoo Peninsula for over 40 years with custom cakes, deli platters, and a wide selection of fresh-baked breads. Hillcrest Bakery and Deli, on the corner of Thrift and Johnston, where everything is lovingly made from scratch. Call Hillcrest Bakery and Deli today at 604-531-1750. That's 604-531-1750. And visit them online at hillcrestbakeryanddeli.ca.
Are you struggling with a dental or oral health issue? Dr. Norm Ickert from Ickert Dental Implant Center is committed to improving your quality of life with the very best in modern and advanced dentistry. You can catch Dr. Ickert on the Health Channel for the Healthy Smiles Oral Health Show here on localwebradio.fm and at the Ickert Dental Implant Center in Langley at 866-981-1381. That's 866-981-1381.
Take control of your financial future with sound investing with Byron Stryloff, senior investment advisor and chartered financial planner with over 30 years of experience on the Business Channel on localwebradio.fm.
It's time now for more Natural Therapies with Dr. Tim Brown.
I'm Trista Polo, and we're back with Dr. Tim Brown. We're talking about mild traumatic brain injuries and concussions and what treatment is available. So what else can you tell us about assessing brain function for injury?
Yeah, I've learned a number of things about assessing brain function. Now, the first thing is, the obvious thing is that the general assessment, which everybody does or can do, is a balance, coordination, things like pupil dilation and eye movements, cognitive awareness of your surroundings, your name, things like that. But these are global neurological assessments, similar to testing drunkenness or intoxication. But further assessments from there usually include watching for symptoms such as attention-based things, poor concentration, memory difficulties, headaches, fatigue, sleep disturbances, anxiety or depression or hypersensitivity to light and noise. You can see that these kind of brain disturbances have common symptoms that many of us can have without realizing that they're actually coming from our brain. The patient that I mentioned had all of these things going on, and of course we knew that he had suffered an acute poisoning, so we knew that was at the base of it. But your behavioral symptoms can include increased distractibility, such as attention deficit disorders, and problems maintaining appropriate social interactions, because there's a whole area of the brain called the limbic system that has to do with social appropriate actions.
Are you saying that ADD, something that so many children and adults suffer from, could be due to a brain injury?
It's due to brain dysfunction, yes.
Wow.
Very much so. It's one of the key things that we would assess and treat using brain neurofeedback procedures. Regarding assessment so far, the things I've talked about, almost every place you would go to, you get this kind of assessment. And then with our patient, for instance, he was assessed and kind of sent off for monitoring. But the assessment also has to include some other things, like a good questionnaire should be filled in. And the questionnaire should have two components. One, a self-assessment, where the person themselves scores, you know, problems they're having. And then it should also have an assessment done from someone outside, close to the person, who can observe them and knows them well. Because one of the things that happens when your brain gets injured is sometimes your perception of things goes off. So you might think you're fine, but other people notice all kinds of changes that they may not even tell you about. This is where a mother, a wife, or a close person to, you know, it's kind of like if you ask people if they brought their pets in, you probably learn more from the owner than you can observe the pet, but the pet can't tell you as much as maybe the owner does. So you have to have both. And with autonomic response testing, of course, we're now testing your internal functions, feedback, timing, and things like that. The next part of what I think is important is that if we suspect that there's a functional problem going on, and it could be from your brain, we need to do a brain EEG or electroencephalograph evaluation. Electrical activity of your brain can be mapped out, so when we do neurofeedback assessment, we get seven key questions answered. The seven key questions are, how balanced is your brain? Meaning, it balances things between a right and a left, a front to back, and a top to bottom. Number two, how well organized is your brain? Is it distributing things in an organized fashion, or is it random? If it's random in its distribution, then you can have things like a seizure is an obvious one, but there are ways that it can be disorganized without it having seizures. We also can tell how it's focused, meaning we assess with your eyes open and with your eyes closed, and we look at what the difference is between those two things. One measures your reaction to the external world, and one measures your internal reactions. Then we can check timing and sequencing. We can check the power. How much power does your brain have or how little? And we can see how well it shifts gears between different functions. And lastly, we can look at endurance. Can it maintain a function for kind of a regular period of time? In all of these assessments, the seven key assessment things that I can get from an EEG are done in a very short time, and then they're compared to a normal database for someone your age and your gender, and very quickly we can tell whether you're exceptional, whether you're normal, or you're dysfunctional, and in what area.
That's extremely thorough. So once you've identified the problem areas, how do you determine what to do to correct the function?
Well, that goes back to the autonomic response testing. Number one is we can determine if there's from the findings, kind of the severity of the problem. And we begin using the principles that I've talked about in integrated medicine, because we remove structural interferences and then the vocal and cranial region by resetting the structures of the joints, the nerve supply, the blood supply, etc. We want to get nutrient deficiencies figured out and top things up, because the brain needs certain amino acids and nutrients, needs oxygen and things, and if it's been shorted, it may need a higher amount for a certain period of time. And using autonomic response testing, we can determine how it's doing and when these things are needed, and we can supply them. And sometimes you have toxins in the brain, like people come in and they have viral infections that have gotten up into the structures in their brain, or at least they're affecting those structures, and so we have to remove the viral loading. And then we have to do other, what we call integration pathways, where we balance and coordinate or reset the timing and sequencing. So this can be done with neurofeedback, which is a whole topic that I think will deserve a whole other podcast.
Absolutely.
But each of these restoration steps has to be done in the proper sequencing so the system can reset itself and get its programming functions back online. So I tell people it's kind of like baking a cake. You can do all the steps to bake the cake, but if you put them in the wrong order, it's going to turn out
not good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a mess. So this is what I had to do with this patient that came down to us. We had to start rebuilding. We had to assess, and we had to read functions so that we did some nutrient kind of interventions with IV and ozone oxygen. We had to fix his diet up and get him on some nutrients that he could be taking with his meals. We did brain neurofeedback, and then we did some allergy desensitization repatterning, because his system had developed a whole bunch of allergies as a response or over-response to the environment. And we had to work on him for about 2 to 3 weeks and sent him home. Then recently I had to check in on him and write a report up so he could get compensated for the care. But he was doing quite well and was back to work and made some changes in his life, but was doing very well.
What a great outcome, having had such a struggle to deal with all of the things that came from that initial injury.
Yeah, it's an important thing. When you said we all have a brain, but the important thing in my work is you have to have a healthy body and a healthy brain. And if either one of those goes off, life sucks.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, Dr. Brown, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Well, I just want to again share that the brain is your most precious and vital organ. It actually works like a living computer. It has operating systems. It builds and stores programs. It keeps your body running efficiently and is the basis for our personality. So brain function is often taken for granted, but when it's altered by trauma, injury, toxicity, etc., it's vitally important to understand how to restore it to proper or optimal function. And this can't be done alone with drugs or medications and rest, but it needs a comprehensive and a more integrated set of assessments and treatments that are designed to restore things on all different levels. That's what we try to look at and do, so we fill in what's missing from the regular kind of treatment.
That's really so important. And I want to thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for this informative look into the deeper issues associated with brain injury and concussion and how patients can get help. I look forward very much to speaking with you again next week.
Okay, thank you.
If you, our listener, can think of someone who might benefit from what we've talked about today, please go ahead and share this podcast with them. I'm sure they'll thank you for it. Just a reminder, Ocean Park Natural Therapies is open for business as usual with Dr. Brown, DCND, and Dr. Eberding, BSCND. You can reach Dr. Timothy Brown by telephone at 604-538-3017. Or visit them online at www.oceanparkhealth.com. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for being with us today.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
You've been listening to The Natural Therapy Show with Dr. Tim Brown, architect and creator of Ocean Park Natural Therapies. If you feel that you are a few steps farther down the health ladder than you should be, the naturopathic doctors at Ocean Park Natural Therapies want you to know that you can be helped. For more information and to book your appointment, call 604-538-3017. That's 604-538-3017. And visit them online at www.oceanparkhealth.com.